Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is a bonus episode of the City of Smack podcast this week from Kyle's interview with Bryce Hopple in the Lap Count newsletter. The kid from Midland, Texas went to the University of Kansas to chase some big dreams, and now Bryce Hopple is a world indoor champion. It was won with experience as much as it was with fitness. It happens in the blink of an eye that the rookie becomes the veteran, but now Hopple is in the prime years of his career. We hadn't yet given him our congratulations. So Kyle decided to reach out to hear how everything was being digested since Glasgow.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, dude? Sorry for the delay.
No, all good.
How's everything going?
Going good.
Just enjoying
some downtime a little bit.
Where in the world are you right now?
I am in Dallas, Texas.
Nice. What's downtime look like?
Kind of just been doing some longer endurance workouts and then easy runs, so nothing too hard.
Do you take like legitimate time off after World Indoors, or do you view it as one big season?
Definitely like one big season. There's more, so it's like a week to kind of decompress, whereas they just didn't give me any workouts. I was just doing like easy runs and stuff.
Cool. Well, I guess congratulations, since now I'm actually speaking to you. Does it feel like it sunk in a little bit? What was the initial impression of everything coming home and realizing you're a world champ?
It's a little mix of both. Like, I was definitely going into that meet expecting to, like, obviously nothing less than a medal. And I was like, once I got ready, like, just how the season training was going, I was like, man, like, I want to win it. And so that was definitely the expectation to the mindset. I was feeling more confident than ever and honestly stronger and just like better than ever, racing. But once you actually achieve it, it is just a different feeling. It's like, oh, wait, like, did I just do that actually? And so it has been a little bit of like, man, like a surreal feeling still. And just like how everyone, the excitement that it brings to everyone else is definitely been something special.
So when you go back and watch the race, and I don't want to discredit it because you ran 1:44, but were you like, why did those guys run that way? Because you were so obviously the smartest runner in the race. They were all over the field.
Yeah. I mean, going back, like I kind of know a lot, some of those guys do kind of like to get rough and like do unnecessary things. And so coming out from the gun, like, getting off the line, I was just like so happy to have lane six again, because you could almost just like, all right, everyone else, go do what you're gonna do. I'm a chill out here once y'all settle down. And so that's pretty much like the mindset I was going in. And yeah, they were just making it hard for each other and couldn't have had a smoother trip for sure.
Do you like the indoor 800, or do you view it like, obviously you like it, you run it and you run well at it, but do you view it differently as than outdoors? I mean, tactically the margin for error in the 800 at large is very slim, but indoors it's even slimmer.
I like the tacticalness of it, not so much like the physicality, just because like some people just be doing some unnecessary things out there. But I do enjoy indoor a lot. Like, I think it is like, if you can figure out those tactics and like, you know what, how some guys are running, or like are able to like sense how it's going to play out, you can almost like, I don't want to use the word like a guarantee win, but those guys just let me do almost the exact same thing all three rounds when I was there. And it was going to be tough to beat me if you just let me go sit behind a leader and like on the outside and just pass you at the end and stretch. Like, I do like that tactic of it, of where you can kind of just set it up how you want to, I guess. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, so a lot of 800 guys skip indoors entirely. You, I would say at this point, given obviously now multiple medals at Worlds and multiple indoor titles. Like, you like indoor, you run well at it. Why are you able to do both, whereas a lot of guys feel like they can't do both? And historically, a lot of guys actually can't do both. It's not just a feeling. Like, the proof is in the pudding, but you've been able to not double peak, but essentially get up twice a year for two championships.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe it's more I don't want to give anyone the idea that I'm going to be a 15 guy eventually, but like the 800, I feel like I'm not peaking, especially around this time. Like, the workouts that I'm doing, I almost was like exclusive with Hobbs, like doing like just longer stuff to where like I wasn't even touching like workouts where I'd get to work on like the feeling that lactic and like and pressing it and stuff. And it was more so we're just like up at altitude. I was doing endurance work, so my coach's mindset definitely was, hey, I'll let you run indoor, like, but we're gonna keep training. So I was like, all right, like, let's do it then. And I feel like it definitely doesn't take anything away from that, or I still feel like I have to wait forever before I can even get to trials. And so I just enjoy getting out and racing for championships as much as I can. And so that's kind of how I viewed it.
So touching on working with Hobbs and the very nice track club, maybe a loaded question. Who is your coach? If you had to put a name to it.
So Michael Wilsey at Kansas is okay. Still my coach.
He's still your coach. And then
he gives me, I mean, 99% of all my workouts and like the plan. And then Ronnie Warhurst has been, I'd say he's like supplementing and like giving me like, oh, like if you didn't do enough today, or like we'll get like hill work in, and just like doing some tweaks here and there to like get the most out of my training. Not that I wasn't like doing what I should be before, but it's like, I don't know, like just like supplements, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, well, at this point you've been with Michael for how long? You know, it's been,
man, it's like 7 years, I think. I mean, it started in 2016 with him.
Are you actively paying rent still in Kansas? Or like, do you have a home in Kansas, or are you just bopping around?
I don't. So I was there for 7 months this past season, and that was kind of like, I was reluctant to go back there that season, and that was kind of like a last minute thing. I was like, oh shoot, like, all right, I guess I'll come back. And then I got a 6 month lease, and then ended up extending it for like 7 months. And so that was kind of just like an on the fly thing. I was going to try to start transitioning to something, and I didn't even really have anything lined up. And so that's kind of why I ended up back there. But no, I don't think I'm going to go back to Kansas. I'll go visit, but I'm not going to go back there for any sum of time this year.
You know, that I got we see a lot of college guys and girls stick around a college program for a while after, you know, you obviously had a ton of success in 2019. You know, outside the NCAA system, you're fourth at Worlds. And so when, in your opinion, is it the right move for athletes to stay in the college atmosphere as opposed to going and seeing what else is out there? And I guess, like, how different is that being 1 year out versus, you know, a few years out where no one on the team even overlapped with you as a student anymore?
Yeah, so I think I never had any problems. So with like the workouts, the training, everything, I think everything was always going great. Like, we never had any problems with that, to where I needed to get some sort of like different that side of things. But for me personally, I think it started to affect my like mental side and social life side, to where it almost affected my relationship with running, to where like I just wasn't really happy with it anymore, and I was just not getting it was. Almost non-existent excitement for like workouts, and it was just like, man, like I'm just kind of going through monotony and just wasn't enjoying it. And so I think changing it up, and like when you need the excitement and like, I don't know, like love running again and switch it up and being with these guys, I think they kind of like spark that for me again. And obviously it's like I'm getting the best of both worlds, because I think I am getting better physical training, and it's just like exciting to see. I mean, Hobbs is doing incredibly well. That guy's like, he's doing amazing. And so it helps like build excitement. And I think for me, I just needed to kind of like It's very simplified, but it's like a new change of scenery.
Yeah. Were you getting nervous for workouts, like, or like you were no longer getting nervous for workouts? Is it that kind of situation where it's like, oh, I just show up and I always know that I'll be able to do it and beat these guys?
Yeah, it's like, not that I would ever like get nervous. I don't know if it's that word, but it's like almost like dreading, just like, like I guess I'll go run today. You know, it's, I just didn't have that excitement to like, this is what I want to go do today, or like, this is what I'm loving doing today, or anything. It's just like, let me go get this running out of the way so I can just enjoy the rest of my day, you know?
Yeah, no, it is really interesting. I guess, has that evolved in racing in any way as well? I mean, previously you were traveling to meets kind of as a lone wolf, and now you have a set group to do pre-meet and room with and, you know, go through the motions.
No, I think it, yeah, I don't think the nerves really got to me all that much, but it does just set you so much more at ease. And like, I'm just so much more comfortable to have like those guys around me with any group setting, like traveling with. And it's just like, you just have to think about it less. And it's almost just like hanging out. And rather than like, you're always just in your own mind, and like, I'm always traveling around lone wolf, and it's like, I'm there for track, but it does kind of just like give you that comfort of having, even just like as little as like being in the warm up area and having someone to like, not that I don't have like friends outside of the group, but like just like someone to stand with, you know, and like someone like watching you do your warm up. It definitely helps a lot.
What is the race, if you had to go back and think about it, like what is the moment that you were most nervous in your life pre-race?
Oh man, definitely my Olympic trials. I've still never felt anything like that. I think the night before the final, I just like felt like a pool of like stress in my stomach. It was just so difficult to sleep. I'm hoping that's not going to feel like again this year for trials. I guess it's just because you get a shot at it every 4 years, in this case 3 years, but definitely before Olympic trials in 2021 was the most nerves and stress I've ever felt in my life.
I feel that. All right. So, you know, you've run 143, you've run 144 with regularity. You can do 145s in your sleep. What do you have to do to run 142 this year? Because that's, you know, that's the shape that those guys are going to be in up front, if not faster. So what is your path to being there?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, I don't have to like hammer down to like, oh, this is what we've been doing wrong in the past. But I think the endurance side, to where I think we got a little taste of it indoors, is like, I definitely believe I did not reach my potential indoors this year. Like I was doing what needed to be done to win, and I was coming off those races like, oh man, like that's it. And so I think we're already kind of changing it up to where the altitude and building that endurance to where almost the 800 feels like a little easy, is kind of the first step in the right direction. And so I think last year I was struggling with not having that strength to where I was locking up at the end of races. I didn't normally have that close at the end. Even in like 144 high races or 145s, I was just like stiffening up and I'm getting tired. So I think it's super exciting to see from this indoor. It was like, man, I ran that 144 indoors, like, it felt like nothing. And so I'm excited to like start getting in with those faster guys, because it's like, it's almost like it's already there, but like I think we're on the right path, you know?
So a year ago I wrote an article basically saying like the men's 800 is boring right now, and part of the reason for that was because it just seems like there's so many guys that on any given day have the opportunity to come in and be the best guy. It seems like maybe in the last year or so, we've started to thin out that pool of potential medalists a little bit more. But I guess in your impression, like hearing that, would you disagree about it? Do you think it's getting more exciting because you're starting to see more of the same faces? Whereas a couple of years ago, it was just like probably showing up on the line, like, who are these guys? They're coming out of the woodwork.
No, I mean, I 100% agree with that article. I think a lot of us were doing subpar of what we could actually be doing. But I mean, yeah, if I asked for the 800, it kind of was just like one of those events. Like you're not seeing any world records, or you're not seeing any like insane times to where I feel like you had David Rudisha for like that chunk of time, and then Donovan kind of just like came on the scene out of nowhere and was like led the charge. And I think it is always nice to have someone leading the charge. And so I think Marco's kind of stepping up a little bit, because like obviously he's been around for as long as I've been around. Like, we've been racing each other since college, but I mean, he ran 142 this past season, and he's making it look pretty, like, he looks, I don't know, I think going into Budapest and like seeing his rounds, I was like, no one's beating Marco at Budapest. Like, I think it is kind of like moving out of directions to where now that we have some guys starting to push the line, it's going to start dragging everyone along to push that line. And, I mean, I don't want to say I'm doing things alone in the U.S., but I think Marco, just being a guy that's been around for me, he's pulled me forward, and I hope that it's going to start pulling forward the U.S. eight guys. And so I think we do have kind of more exciting things, and definitely with an Olympic year, I think we'll see some fun stuff.
Marco might be too nice of a guy to start some off-track beef with.
He's way, I mean, I love the guy. Like, I could never have like any beef with him.
Yeah. I guess on that topic, you know, and it's not about time, that article, as much as just the fact that it was the pool of guys. But I think the time is an interesting thing, because it does feel like the 800 hasn't gotten faster like every other event has at the same rate. I mean, especially this year at NCAAs. I mean, I'm sure you have your own thoughts about that indoor 8. But like, even just the cutoff times are not progressing at the NCAA level, let alone at the pro level. Do you have any theory as to why? Is it just like there's not a David Rudisha? Do spikes not help as much? Like, you can't use pacing lights in an 800 as effectively as in a 10K?
Yeah, I think pacing lights, other than getting you to 400, I think pacing lights are a little irrelevant in the 8. So like that doesn't really help. As for spikes, I don't want to get myself in trouble, but like, I mean, I don't think they've taken any great leaps for the 800 specifically. And, but I think the most thing was like, the thing that I think it draws the most excitement to a specific event is those stars of like, man, you got Noah Lyles in the two, or like Grant Holloway just going to dominate the hurdles. I think, yeah, the 800 is kind of lacking that right now, I'd say, for sure.
That could be you. You could turn up the celebrations a little bit. Enough with the humility.
Yeah, it's true.
No pressure.
It's hard. It's a battle of both worlds. Like, man, like, I'm thankful to like have those like moments, and that's like, but also, yeah, like, should I off a little bit? I know.
It is kind of amazing, probably from an athlete's point of view, to see what guys like Noah are doing, just to put that much personal responsibility on marketing the sport, and like to put yourself out there that much, because there's a reason why so few people do it. It's because you're always a moment away from having everything fall apart. You know, like, it just, it's like the life of being an athlete. I guess, like, I don't know, like, do you see that as a responsibility of athletes to shoulder that, or is that not on you?
I think it definitely is like part on us, and I think a lot of people don't want to take on that responsibility, just because like it can definitely, if you're not ready for it and you can't handle it, it's definitely going to take away from the competing side. But yeah, no, like I definitely feel like I'm to blame in my own aspect of like, you got to put some personality out there, like give people the reason to watch and like to follow you specifically. But I mean, it's hard. Like it is like, I don't know. I'm not like an awkward guy, but it's like, I'm not going to be dancing out there after like a 800 meter win. You know, I don't know.
So I don't, this was not a planned last question, but I always have this thought of like, do you watch other guys' workout videos? Like, Marco has a very active YouTube channel. Clayton has a very active YouTube channel. Two guys that you probably spend a lot of time thinking of. Do you ever watch their stuff? And what do you take from it?
Oh man, I knew Clayton had one. I had no idea that Marco posts on YouTube regularly.
A lot.
Oh wow, I didn't know that at all. I'm gonna go check that out.
Yeah.
No, I think it is cool to see. I've definitely watched a lot of Clayton's, and we've become pretty good buds. Like, competing with each other over this time, but
Do you see it? And do you ever see a workout? And you're like, I could do that.
A little bit. Yeah. It's like, oh wait, like that's all you're doing?
There we go. That's all I had. I just had the thought. Jake Whiteman had posted like his first workout back after some time away, and I just imagined like Jakob watching it, being like, "Where's the rest of the workout?" Bryce, that's all I have for you.